Thank you, Brother Andy, for doing a good job of reading us and the Word of God this morning. Of course, the discussion that Martha had with Jesus was a very important one. You see, Lazarus had been sick, and of course he had died. And Martha rightfully knew that if Jesus perhaps had been with them, Lazarus would not have died. But the point is that Lazarus is already dead. Back in verse 14, Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Jesus wanted them to be sure, yes, Lazarus is dead, and for their sakes, that they would believe what Jesus was going to do. That Jesus truly was, as Martha confessed, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Was her belief founded or unfounded? Well, as the text goes on, we find that Jesus did what was pleasing to his heavenly Father, and that God was glorified. We learned earlier in John chapter 11 and verse 4 that Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." How was Jesus going to be glorified through Lazarus' death? Well, if you were to finish the story, you would find later there in verse 42 that Jesus said, "I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe you have sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus was speaking to his Father for the sake of the people, that when he would raise Lazarus from the dead, they too would believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he has the power to raise the dead back to life. You see, Jesus claimed to Martha, as Andy just read, "I am the resurrection and the life. And though he may die, yet he shall live. Do you believe this?" He was asking, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" Well, if Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, that ought to be very convincing. But you know that's not all that Jesus had done. In fact, if you were to read throughout the Gospels, you would find a list of those that Jesus raised from the dead in addition to Lazarus. But perhaps one that we all need to pay attention to is that Jesus rose himself. Remember that every gospel, Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20, tell us about those that learned Jesus is risen. There were those that came to the tomb and found it was empty. When they were looking for him, the one that was sitting on top of the stone said, "He is risen. He is not here." And if that wasn't enough, Jesus even appeared himself unto others, that they would see with their own eyes that "I have seen the risen Lord." That which those have seen have been declared unto us, even as John said in his gospel. But I'd like to turn your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Because here the Apostle Paul declares the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's begin here in verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and in which you stand, that by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Why would Paul declare these things if they had not occurred? And as if we needed further evidence, in verses 5 and following, he begins to list all of those that had seen the risen Lord. Jesus did die. He was buried. He was risen again. And that is constantly what the Scriptures remind us of. Yes, even Paul reminded the young man Timothy of what Jesus did. In Paul's second epistle to Timothy, in chapter 2, there in verse 8, Paul said very clearly, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Paul began to preach Christ and Him crucified, and also that He was risen. He declared that gospel and said, "Timothy, remember it, because it is very, very true. It happened exactly as God had said." Why do you think that Paul wanted Timothy to remember that? Is there some connection between what Paul was preaching and what Timothy needed to know for a certain purpose? Well, you see, the resurrection of Christ impacts every single one that are listening today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice the importance that Paul brings upon the resurrection to those in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here in verse 20, notice the affirmation and purpose of Christ's resurrection. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 20, Paul said, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." You see, because of Adam and the sin that he committed and the sin that had entered the world, all of us are going to die at some point. We know that there will be a physical death unless the Lord comes back first, but there is also a spiritual death. And if we were to die spiritually, we would be separated from God. But because of Christ and His overcoming of sin, because Christ died, was buried, and rose again, it is in Him that we shall all be made alive. We can be made alive physically, and we can be made alive spiritually. Perhaps that is a concept that those that crucified the Lord Jesus had a hard time understanding. When we read the book of Acts and begin in chapter 2, when Peter began to preach the good news of the message of Christ to those on the day of Pentecost, You can imagine what was going through their hearts and their minds when they have learned that they had just crucified the one that is both Lord and Christ. They were the very ones that were responsible for His death. They killed Him. But if Christ had stayed in the grave, imagine the consequences. Imagine the things that they would have to suffer. But because the tomb was empty, they had a second chance. They had hope. And as the word begins to be preached in chapters 2 and following, they were constantly reminded of the good news. But one passage in particular I'd like for us to focus on is in Acts chapter 4. Just 2 chapters since the day of Pentecost. Peter and John, of course, are doing what Christ commanded them to do, to go into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature, and as a result, have been arrested. But here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, here's what they begin to say. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. For this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The very ones they crucified, they're told, God raised from the dead. The very one that they killed, God made alive. And because God made Him alive, it is through Him that we can have salvation. Thus, the good news has been given. You know, I don't have to always go around feeling the guilt of the things that I have done crucified the Son of God. There's actually something that I can do to make it right. There is a hope that I can have in Him. And Peter, who preached on that day of Pentecost, wrote in his first epistle, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is through the resurrection of Christ, which came after killing Him, that we have that living hope. Not just any hope, a living hope. And it's all because of what God did for us through Christ. The reason I word it like this is because if you remember, as we read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, the writer says that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Many passages like this says that God raised up Christ from the dead. God had a hand in that, as did Christ. And when you wonder how they come together, well, the Gospel of John also gives us that answer. You see, back in John chapter 5, here in verse 21, the words of Jesus make it very, very plain. John chapter 5 and verse 21. Jesus said, For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. If God raises the dead and gives them life, remember Jesus is one with God. He has the right to give life to whom He will. And don't you think that God wants to give you that life? That God wants me to have that life And through Jesus, we can obtain it? Absolutely. And again, the Apostle Paul declares these very words. We go back to Paul's words to the Corinthians. But this time, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there in verse 14, here is what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 6:14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and also will raise us up by His power. Think of the power that God has to raise Christ from the dead. By that same power, He has the right to raise us from the dead. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 4 and in verse 14, again he says it this way, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. If God can raise up Christ, He can raise us up. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And you see, by being raised, we can have the opportunity to forever be with the Lord. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, Jesus explains about two resurrections. In verses 28 and 29, He says there will be a resurrection of life to those who have done good, but to those that have done evil, a resurrection of condemnation. What is going to happen to us after this life is no more? Well, if we are in Christ, we can have eternal life. But if we're not abiding in Christ, we will have to suffer eternal death. You see, not only is Jesus the resurrection, He is also the life. Just as He declared unto Martha, and Martha believed. And we believe that because of who Jesus was and what He has done. Even in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and in verse 28, do you recall what it was that Paul had said about Him? He said, for in Him we live and move and have our very being. We cannot exist without Him. Physically nor spiritually, we are nothing without Him. And that's how John began to declare his gospel. The famous words in chapter 1 and verse 4 when he said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Where else can we have life? Only in Christ. And it makes sense that if we find life in Christ now, there is only one way to have eternal life, and that is by being in Christ. Remember the words of John when he wrote in 1 John chapter 5? There, beginning in verse 11, he said, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? In His Son. And he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God sent Him to us. All we have to do is have Him. But just as Martha found out, we've got to believe Him. And if I truly believe Him and do what He says, I can have that everlasting life. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 that we must wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. You see, after this life, there will either be eternal life or eternal death. The wrath of God will come upon those that do not obey the gospel of Christ, that do not do the things that He's called them to do. And if we want to be delivered from that wrath to come, we've got to believe on Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. But what does that mean, we must believe in him? Well, let's go back to see exactly what Jesus said to Martha. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Did you notice? He said that though he may die, yet he shall live. There is a death that we must all experience. Well, the first death that we think about is that of physical. Because in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But if we die spiritually unto sin, we can live forever in heaven with God. And that's what we can only accomplish through Christ. Notice with me now the words of Jesus. When we go back to the Gospel of John, this time in chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'd like for us to begin in verse 39. Jesus tells us what this is all about, what he has done and what that means for you and me. Here in John chapter 6 in verse 39, Jesus said, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now look at verse 44. Jesus went on to say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus says, I will raise him up at the last day. Who is him? Well, back in verse 40, he said, those who see the Son and believe in him. Well, you and I may not have seen the Son with our own eyes, but there were those that did, and they had written what they had seen, and they had written what they had heard. That's why we study the Bible, that we through their eyes can see him, that we will know truly this is the Son of God who has come into the world, and learn the power that he has and the everlasting life that may come to us. Oh, I love that word, may. It doesn't mean that it is the fifth month of the year, but it shows us that we have every right to receive everlasting life. But you see, just because we may do something does not mean that we will. We have to make that decision to do so. In Ephesians chapter 1, there beginning in verse 19, Paul talked about the incentive of why we would want to make that decision. Here is what Paul said. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and mind and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Think about what we experience now, but also what is to come. God has exceedingly great power toward us. If we believe in him, he will take care of everything. He can help us to have everlasting life, to deliver us from that wrath that is to come. So how then am I going to receive that? Well, doesn't that give us something to hope for and someone to put our hope in? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Because of what God did for us through Jesus Christ, my faith and hope are in him. I can put my complete trust that God did raise Jesus from the dead, and if I do what he says, I can be raised too. You see, that has an important impact of making my life right with God. After all, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I were to die in my sins, I would be separated from God. But that's why Christ died on the cross. That's why he was buried. And that's why he was risen. In Romans chapter 4, there in verse 24, Paul explains that it was also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Can you imagine if those words were heard on the day of Pentecost? Christ was delivered up because of our offenses, because of your offenses, but he was raised because of our justification, of your justification. Through the blood of Christ, everything can be made a-okay. It is because that blood was shed that we can be saved. You see, later in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 10, he completes the connection between Christ's obedience and our belief. He said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what I have to do. I have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Didn't Martha do that? Is that not exactly what she confessed? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. What happens when one believes and confesses in Christ? One has to fully obey the gospel. We find that we must hear the word, believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess him, and be baptized into Christ. Just as on the day of Pentecost, Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, that you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit of God must dwell in us. If he does, as Paul told the Romans in chapter 8, we will receive everlasting life. God's Spirit is at work in our spirit. And if God raised Christ from the dead, he will raise us up if we believe in him. You see, eternal life is only found in Christ. And there is only one way to be in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 gives us that way. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And what happens when we are baptized into Christ? Romans chapter 6 tells us, as Christ was dead, buried, and rose again, we die to sin, buried with Christ in baptism, and are raised again to walk in a newness of life. Are you walking in that newness of life? Do you truly believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died, was buried, and are risen again? Have we died to sin and are raised to be living that new life? We're just about to sing the song of encouragement. And if there be one today that needs to respond, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.